This is a world filled with evil. It is under the power of the prince of the air. And he is blinding people. He blinds them to the beauty of the gospel. He blinds them so they cannot see that they are in darkness. But the world is in darkness. So were you and I at one time. We were all in that same predicament. We all had sin. We were in the kingdom of darkness. And by the power of God, he transferred us. He transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And ever since that time, when you became a Christian, you were immersed into Christ, Satan has been against you. He has been at war with you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy element of the church today. But I thank Jesus. He said the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against the church. Amen? Amen. So every day you get up, every morning, I don't care what morning it is, you wake up and you begin to live in a world filled with evil. You're in a world where Satan is going about like a roaring lion, devouring people's lives. You know that, don't you? Yet my Bible tells me very clearly that if I resist him, he will flee. But previous to that verse, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You see, I believe the victory is won when God's people recognize the need for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. That does indeed come in prayer. Prayer is an aspect that really, where again, we recognize our dependence upon God. However your position might be, my personal position, I never get out of bed until I have meditated and spent time with the Lord and put my feet on the ground to begin my walk of faith. That's what David did. That's what Jeremiah did. If you read their cases and their examples, they begin the day in bed praying to God. You know that? Read it. It says so. It says so. In fact, David says that his bed was wet with tears before he got up in the morning. Of course, he had a lot to lament over, didn't he, in his individual life. But how many of you got... y'all got dressed this morning, I can see. Okay? And the aspect, of course, is very important that you and I again recognize that God has given us the armor or that which we need to put on every day in order that we can resist and stand firm and strong in the world in the time in which you and I live. Paul didn't waste words when he looked at the church at Ephesus. He recognized the fact that they were people of God, that they were to comprehend together all the love of God, the breadth, the height, the length, the depth of the love of God, that God had given leadership to the church, first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, that the body of Christ could grow and continue to grow, and that the man of God be no longer a child tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and carried about by the deceitfulness and the scheming of men, but each part fitting together, God doing that, fit every part of us, working in every part of the body, supplying, building up the body of Christ in love. You see, there's one element that Satan will never be able to overcome. He cannot overcome a people who love God with their whole hearts, mind, body, and strength. And he cannot overcome a people that love one another like Christ loved them. He cannot win if we will just let the Holy Spirit fill us with the love of God and just let it flow. Let it flow, people. Let it flow. So when people meet you, they meet God, because God is love. And the element of the fact is that we are the body of Christ. So when Paul said and begins, and you know this is nothing new, in Ephesians chapter 6, he tells you and me, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. So if you're going to win the battle, you need to know you're not going to win it in and of your own strength. You can't. Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. And so when you and I have Christ in us, we can all say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we need to recognize every day when you and I get up prepared for battle that we're going to go in the strength of the Lord, in the power of God's Spirit. We're going to confront the world, and we're not weak. We are powerful. We're a powerful people because of Him who dwells in us. We are powerful because God didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of power. And the time the church tapped in to the power of God and allowed that power to flow into the world in which we live in today. We're so timid. And so, I mean, in the early church and chapter, they prayed for boldness. Isn't it amazing? God gave it to them. The place was shaken. And they went forth preaching the gospel with boldness. So I guess I have to stand up here and say, as the video showed us over and over again, you see, if you're going to begin the day, and if you want to win that day, you better start it in prayer. Because you don't know what you're going to confront that today. You never know. You don't know. Only God knows. And you need to take that prayer and faith and put it before the Father and let Him. Because my Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Every day I want God directing my path. I want Him. I needed the shepherd. We're like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned our own way. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and I know my sheep. Who are you following? Every day you need to pray to God that today you will be hearing the voice of the chief shepherd, the shepherd of shepherds, and you'll be following Him. Well, where are you going to find that voice? Huh? Well, you begin the day with the Word of God, too. Not enough just to pray. It's nothing. It's every day. You ought to start every morning by spending some time in the Word of God. Jesus said it this way. If I abide in you and my Word abides in you, then you will bear much fruit. And whatever you ask, it will be granted to you. And by this my Father is glorified, in that you bear much fruit. You see, it's just not significant for you and I to hear the Word of God. The Word of God has to abide in us. It means it remains in us. It is transformed into our minds, and it transforms our lives, and we become living epistles, known and read of men every day, according to 2 Corinthians 3. We are God's letter to the world today. The Holy Spirit takes the mind of God, transfers it to my mind, and transforms me into a Christ-like man and a woman or whatever. You need to start with the Word of God. Every morning, you need to be spending time with God and His Word. You need to be spending time. Now, whether you get on your knees, whether you stand, whether you lift up your hand, that has to come to you. That has to be where you are. I've been on my knees before God. I've been in a heart condition where I needed to bow before my Father. I've laid on the ground prostrate before God. I have done that. I have done that. I have wrapped my arm around a tree, knowing God created it, and asked Him to give me the strength of this oak tree because I needed it. Because I needed it. So I believe the position is where you are in your relationship with whatever you're dealing with. Whatever you're dealing with. And if the only way you can sincerely tell God what you feel and where you are, broken as you may be, it may be laying prostrate, it may be humbling yourself before God on your knee. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, because God will hear you wherever and however. Point is, He does hear His people pray. And He's asking you, and He's wanting you, and desiring for you to ask. And we don't have because we don't pray enough. We're anemic in the church because of two reasons. We don't know the Word, and we're not praying. We don't know the Word. You know what drew me to the New Testament church? When I became a new Christian, in every aspect, I had a father-in-law, I had an elder, brother-in-law. I mean, these men were men of the Word. They were men. I mean, they knew the Bible. They didn't have to apologize. They weren't afraid of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They knew what they believed, know what they why they believed it, and they could stand firm in the Word of God, and they could confront them with their false doctrine. It's amazing, isn't it, today? I'm serious. We don't know the book. If you don't know the book, you don't know the author. I don't study the Bible to study the Bible so I can know the Bible. I study the Bible so I can know the author. Because that's the only way you're going to know Him. Yeah, I can see His eternal power and wisdom and things that He has made. But I'm not going to find the kindness and the mercy and the grace and the love and the aspect of God's true nature and character and who He is, except how He's revealed Himself truly to me right here, and especially in the person of His Son. Jesus said, I've come to show you the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. How many of you have seen Jesus? He's right here. The Holy Spirit has penned Him right here for you and I to read so we can get to know Him. It's a matter of not, I mean, He could have done, chose many different ways, but He didn't. And that's why it says this book is never going to pass away. It'll be here when the world comes to an end, okay? So stand strong in the Lord. You know, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. You know, I like salmon fishing, but I've never seen anything but a live salmon fighting the currents. Dead salmon float downstream, right? Have you seen that? Huh? Yeah? But if you're going to fight the currents that's going on in the world today, you've got to stand for something. I'm telling you, this America today and what we're seeing in the decay morally in this country has happened many times because God's people haven't stood up against it and voiced what we know God has said about it in context and reality and the aspects of it, because it is evil and it is wrong. And if God's people don't tell and speak the truth, who is going to? The world's not going to. Your politicians aren't going to. They're going to be swayed by the lobbyists and whomever. Money talks today. You know? As far as I know, every news stand out there, every liberal newspaper, New York Times, doesn't matter. They would not be able to maintain themselves if it wasn't for Soros and those billionaires supporting them and telling them, you say this and this and this and this, and we'll support you. Because if they didn't, they'd go bankrupt. You know that. How many of you knew that? Yeah? You knew that. You know? You know how many of those liberal press are controlling what's going on in America today? You know all the lies they propagate? In every aspect of that? I'm telling you, it's amazing. But he says here, be strong in the Lord, power of His might. I'm going to go right out. Put on the full armor of God. Full armor. Not part of it, all of it. Get the word full, F-U-L-L. Everybody understand what that means? Okay, full. Thank you, Ray. Full. Full armor of God, to that you may well be able to stand firm. Stand firm means you're unmovable. When you take a stand, you stand firm, nothing's going to move you. You're like solid cement. It doesn't matter what people think, you're not going to be swayed. You're not going to waver. You're going to stand firm in the Lord, and in the power of His might, you're going to stand. And you're going to stand against the schemes of the devil. You understand that? Okay? Every day, Satan then is a schemer, and he's going to try his best to attack you. He is going to. I guarantee you, he is. Just stay with me. You will. You will fight Satan every day of your life. If you don't understand that, you don't understand what's going on in the world today. Satan has the world, but he doesn't have us. He doesn't have me. But you think he's going to battle and do everything he can to destroy me? Don't you think he might do that? Huh? You want to believe it? I don't know. Have you? How many of you don't have to get up every morning with recognition that today you better be walking by faith, not by sight? Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Okay? We know that God has, thank God, that He's given us the victory through His Son, Jesus Christ. We know that. We know that. The victory is there. It's already been declared. Satan has been crushed by the resurrection of God's Son. He had to take on himself human force, flesh, in order that he could be tried like you and I and whatever, and die and be risen from the grave, and to take the keys of death and hell out of Satan's hands. They're now in his hand. He's riding victorious on the white horse, according to Revelation, right? And he's riding conquering. We are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do you hear that? We are more than, say that, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. More than conquerors. Okay, Mark talked about winning. We're winners. How many of you want to be on a winning team? Well, if you're in Christ and you're on the Lord's side, you're in a winning team. There's no doubt about it. Right? God has declared that. It's already been declared. All you got to do is maintain your confidence and your faith that that has indeed is truth. Okay? It's such an important part. You see, our struggle isn't against flesh and blood. It isn't against flesh and blood. It's against rulers. Rulers? Rulers in Iran? Afghanistan? Rulers in our own country? Rulers? What? Against rulers? Against the powers? You mean there's powers in the upper places? Higher places? The higher powers of the world? Against world forces of this darkness? Against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places? Now that's pretty profound. Now you think you're going to stand against all of that on your own? You think you're going to win the battle against all these evil forces that are in the world, up in the aspect of rulers and principalities and powers and dominions that are there? I mean, and you're going to win in and of yourself? That's why we have brothers and sisters falling all over the place. Because they believe they can stand on their own two feet. Pride always comes before the fall. Humility always comes before the rise. You understand what I just said? All right? So, he says, therefore, take up the full... What? The full armor, take it up. How many of you put it on this morning? How many of you can tell me what it is without me having to go through it? What's the first thing he tells you to put on? He sees this Roman soldier. He's standing out. Paul's in prison. There's this Roman guard. He's got all this armor on, like the Roman soldier would, going into battle. And then the first thing you notice on around his girdle is what? A belt. A belt. And Paul calls it the belt of truth. Okay? Now notice what he says. He makes it previous to that. He says, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. Stand. Doing what? Having done all of putting on the armor. Having put it all on. Putting the full armor of God. If you put the full armor of God on, you will be able to stand. And the first thing you have is a belt of truth. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what we had in the Garden of Eden? Thou shalt not die. God said you will. It all began with a lie, didn't it? Satan is the father of all lies. Anytime you lie, you are of your father, the devil. Did you know that? You know where all liars are going to go? According to Revelation 21:8, all liars are numbered with the abominable and the whoremongers and whatever, and are going to be separated from God. God's work and God's battle is in the area of truth. And the church is to be the pillar of truth. We are to uphold the truth. And the truth is the Word of God. Jesus said, my word is spirit, and it is truth. Truth. So the first thing you and I need to know is to know the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And if you shall be free, you shall be free indeed. How many of you know the truth? Nothing but the truth shall help you, God. Because that's the only way you're going to make it in this world of filled with lies. Is you can discern it. Examine the spirits, whether there be a God or not. How in the world can I put a spirit to test whether or not it's in harmony with the Word of God? And if it's not, it's a false, evil, lying spirit. You understand that? Truth is the most important element of your freedom. Your liberty in Christ is that you have been granted the ability to discern and know the truth. And that truth is in God's Word. Secondly, what do you put on? A breastplate. What's it called? Breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. That breastplate protects the lungs and the heart of the Roman soldier. One of the most important things upon the body, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah, it is. Well, he said it's called the breastplate of righteousness. Do you know your righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God? You don't want to stand before God dressed in your righteousness. You know that, don't you? No, do you know that when you were baptized into Christ, you were clothed with Christ? Do you know that Christ was fully, completely obedient to his Father and his Father received him? Do you know what it means that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ? Do you know what it means then to be clothed with his righteousness and not your own? See, the book of Romans isn't talking about your righteousness. It's talking about you and I being saved by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You better be clothed in His. Well, how does God do that? Well, it's imputed. Imputed how? Through faith and obedience. You know, the book of Romans begins by the obedience of faith, and it ends with the obedience of faith. You know how God then places me and puts righteousness on me? By every time I obey Him, He imputes and clothes me with His righteousness. Every time I obey, Abraham was imputed unto him because he didn't stagger in unbelief that what God had promised he was able to perform. So what did Abraham do? He obeyed. He did what God told him to do. And God saw Abraham as a righteous man. Right? You getting that? So, can you honestly say, speak, Lord. I hear. You command, and I will obey. That's where God says you are righteous. And the more you walk in obedience to the will of God and His commandments as it's given here in His Word, then the more you will be looked upon by God as being clothed with righteousness. Got it? Do you have that? Okay? You know, it's amazing to me how many people believe there's nowhere in the Bible that God commands us to do anything. Well, I'll say by faith. I know that for a fact because I just got done teaching a family that left here because I told them that, no, faith demands obedience. You can't claim to have faith and not obedience. Paul and James are not in contradiction. Paul's saying, you're not saved by the works of the law. James says, you're not. Your faith is dead if it doesn't have works or obedience. That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. That's in complete harmony. So if you don't know what Paul's dealing with, you don't know what James. You know what Luther did with James? He tore it out of his Bible. Why? Because he said that is in direct contradiction what he had got. If you remember in Romans chapter 5 where it says thou art saved or justified by faith, Luther, who's climbing up St. Peter's Basilica, remembered that verse, got off his knees, went back to his chamber, opened up his Bible, opened up to the book of James, because in Romans 5:1, Luther, I got his book. I got his own book written on his life, and he said that he put in the Bible, in Romans 5, you're justified by faith only. He wrote the word only. And so what does James say? James says, you see then how a man is justified not by faith alone, but by works. He ripped it out of the Bible. Because he said James isn't inspired. How many other scriptures have men ripped out of the Bible? How many other aspects of they refuse to acknowledge and aren't teaching out there today? Commands clearly in the Bible. Everybody would tell you baptism is a command, but it has nothing to do with salvation. Isn't that amazing? Then who gave anyone the authority to tell which commands are essential and which isn't? Answer me that question. Who gave anyone? What council of people out there were given authority by God to tell us what commands in the Bible you have to obey and which ones you don't? If righteousness is imputed by obedience, then why would we want to deny one of the most beautiful acts of obedience in the Word of God? When one is buried with Christ, raised with Christ, to walk in a new life, why would you not want to see that picture? It's so beautiful. And what God says in the Scriptures, it really is. So, we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Then we have to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Brother Miller here and I and Ray and others. Brother Bob. Well, in a foot beauty contest. Do you know that? The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Right? Bob, you heard about the guy that stuck his foot in the oven because he wanted to pop his corns? You may think that sounds a little corny. Okay, I don't know. But the point of it is, are you listening? The only way Satan is chained is through the preaching of the gospel. As long as the church is not preaching the gospel today, we're opening the gates of hell in the world which we're living in today. I'm serious. To preach the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And if we're not preaching the gospel, I guarantee you, Satan's having a heyday. Because the church is not preaching the gospel today. It isn't. You can go church after church and you'll hear everything else but the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15. So when you think about shod in our feet, what do you take with you when you go? What do you take when you go to work? What do you take when you go to the store? What do you take? How many times are you prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you? How easy, how simple, just to tell people, you know, I really believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and He died for my sins, and He was buried, and He was risen from the dead on the first day, and He's my Lord, and He's my Savior. How difficult is that? Pretty easy, isn't it, Dick? Pretty easy. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's what you put on your feet. That's what you just shod your feet with. That's where you go. Everywhere, go preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, Jesus said. Go into all the nations and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What did He say? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Okay? Then He talks about the aspect of not only preaching the gospel after we had our feet shod. He said, in addition to all of this, I would like to say above it all, above everything else, take up what? What? Shield. Of faith. The shield is what was an oblong steel belted and leathered to the arm of the soldier. And when he was going into battle, that shield would be right in front of him until he confronted the enemy. Okay? He didn't look around it. He might get the spear right between the eyes. He didn't. You see, Jesus left us a footprint. He left us His example. I don't need to look up there. I just need to know that I'm walking in His footsteps. Why? Because I know He's already won the battle. And if I'm going to confront Satan, I want him to be right there with me. He said He'd never leave me. He said He'd never forsake me. But faith is that which is protecting you from the fiery darts, the wick of the evil one, the Satan. What does that mean? That means, Bill, every day you get up, you better dress yourself properly. And you better put on the belt of truth. You better shod your feet properly. And you better put on that breastplate. And you better, as you begin your walk today, begin to walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, what is faith in? Faith is in God's promises. Faith is in the God who's made the promises. Faith is in the fact that God is able to keep His promises. And that whatever God has promised, He will perform it. So to me, faith is simply putting my life in the promises of God and walking in those promises, knowing that I have a God who cannot lie. He has sworn with an oath, and whatever He promised me, He's going to perform it. It's going to be done. Can you walk with that kind of shield? Huh? That's faith, isn't it? Isn't that the shield of faith? And we need to put that shield up in front of us because, brother, what Satan's going to attack and what he wants to destroy is your faith. You know that? That's what he's going to try more than anything else, is to bring down the shield. He just wants you to doubt just a little bit. Just really question some that maybe God just isn't for me. I mean, doesn't he throw those kind of ideas in your mind? You've never dealt with any of those ideas? You never questioned yourself? How many of you think that maybe you're not all you ought to be, and therefore, why would God want to protect me? Have you ever heard of grace? Grace, grace, marvelous grace, wonderful grace. You know, no matter what, all of you and me are going to be saved by grace. What God wants you also to learn to do is put your faith in His grace. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we're going to be saved by God's grace. Amen. No other way are we going to make it into heaven but by the grace of God. We all know that. But make sure that you're in the book and in the Word and that you're receiving the promises of God as they're given here. I mean, I meet all kinds of people and how, oh, I read in the Bible. I know in the Bible it says, da, 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 da. Really? Man, I'm open-minded. Show me in the Bible where it says that. You know how many people have written promises into the book that God never meant? Because they have, you know. Then he says, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, put on the breastplate, guard your feet, take up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. They had these big spears, and they'd wrap them in tow, dip them in pitch, light them, and then they'd hurl them at the oncoming army. That's what he has in mind. And take the helmet of salvation. So you might say, you know, what do you got on your head? My wife the other day woke up early in the morning. She said, man, Bill, she said, I had a wonderful dream last night. So I dreamed I died and went to heaven. I said, really? I said, was I there? She said, yeah, that's how I knew it was a dream. But my Bible says in Colossians 3:1, if you have been risen with Christ, then set your mind on those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. What is more important to you than your salvation? You are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Nothing should be. Don't sell your soul, your salvation, for a mess of soup. For whatever this world might offer you. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not. It's not. And Jesus died for you so you could have the hope of salvation. Put it on your head. Think about it. That's more important to you than anything else, is that when you stand before and you go, you know where you're going. You're going to heaven. That's your promise. That's what it is. You know salvation is what you are living for. The salvation. And then he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews says that the Bible, the Word of God, is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing asunder joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. This is it. I used to go with my brother to watch all those, you know, movies of the knights. I just love to watch them. Get them in the gizzard, you know, sword come out the other end, whatever, and so on and so forth. And now I know that I have another sword. Okay, I don't want to put it through somebody's gizzard. I want to put it into their hearts. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling and rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to know how to use my sword. This is the only weapon I got. This is the only weapon the church has been given. It's the word of God. And if we don't know how to use the weapon, we don't know how to sword fight, then we're going to lose the battle. The church is losing today because God's people are not studying the sword, knowing how to use it. Because it's the only weapon we have to win the battle against the evil that is in the world today. I really believe that. And then he says, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for all the saints. Pray for me that I'll have boldness to preach the gospel. Prayer. We've been studying that all afternoon. The church will never accomplish the will of God until the church becomes a praying church. I mean, it can't be just 4, 5, 6. It's got to be God's people humbling themselves under God's hands and recognizing our whole dependence and everything we are and all that we're going to do. It will be by my power and by my spirit, saith the Lord. And if God doesn't build the house, they that labor labor in vain. We need to be humbling ourselves before God and pray for souls to be won. Pray for the church to grow. Pray for Mike Pemberton in India. Pray for every aspect that the truth will permeate and will be preached by those who are willing to preach the truth. Nothing but the truth. So help them, God. And if you and I clothe ourselves every day with the full armor of God and stand against the schemes of the devil, and you clothe yourself properly, you will be victorious. Victory in Jesus will come when you and I properly dress ourselves with the full armor of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today, for this time of refreshing. I just pray your Holy Spirit will be here and bless everything that's been said and done, that as we as a people have come together into this place, that we will have been filled, we will have been encouraged and strengthened to fight the fight. To fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life, to know that if we fight that faith, fight that good fight of faith, that there's a crown of life that has been laid up for us, eternal in the heavens. So God, we look forward to the end of the race. We look forward to winning the prize. We just pray that you'll find us faithful until Jesus comes. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.